As we live in this present world, there are so many things in religion today to be advertised before us as this kind of power and that kind of power, this kind of a gift and that kind of gift, and till sometimes many of our people feel, well, the Lord's left me out. I don't have some of these things in my life that other people have in their lives. This morning we're going to talk to you about living power that's in the Church of the Living God. It is really a power that we ought to have known about all the time. And if you don't know it, I hope this morning before we leave that you will know about this power. We find that the Apostle Paul wrote a wonderful statement in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and 12th verse. He said, "The Word of God is quick and powerful." And just pausing there, the word quick means alive, living. Of all the things that I've ever known in all of the days of my life and all my experiences, the most powerful thing I say that I've ever encountered, and I've been in battle and I've seen some great weapons, I've seen some mighty shells, large shells and great bombs, and seen some great blasts, I've seen great buildings demolished. I'm talking about power this morning that is a living power, and the greatest, I say, is the Word of God. And I think when we come to realize just how powerful God's Word is, and if we have that Word activated, living in our lives, then we've really got some power in our lives that comes right straight from heaven. The Word of God is alive and living and is powerful, or it is energized, and it also energizes those who receive it. And this Word of God is full of energy. It is quick and powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. It cuts everything going and coming, and it brings it into obedience to God. And it removes those things that are displeasing to God. God's Word accomplishes what God gave it for. We're living in this time whenever people are talking about so many different ideas about what really the church needs. I'm going to tell you the kind of revival we need is to get back to the powerful Word of God. Get right back to what God said. Of all the theologies and all the things on the earth today, the only thing that will stand when this world is on fire is what God said. So it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, the Spirit certainly has a part to play in this too. From John 6:63, we find it is the Spirit that quickeneth or maketh alive. The word quickeneth means maketh alive. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. And Jesus says this then. And he said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit in their life." I want to know if there could be any Holy Spirit in our lives without the Word of God. I want to know if there could be any gifts of the Spirit in our lives and in our hearts without the Word of God. So we find that this Word of God is a very living force, and that when Jesus was speaking about Spirit, he said, "The words that I speak unto you, they're Spirit in their life." What generates Spirit in our lives that would make us have a Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Believing what God said, receiving His promises, putting our confidence and trust in it, it sort of gives us an emotion. It sort of enthuses us. Somebody said that Brother Duncan just has so much enthusiasm about the Word of God. The Word of God was given us to become enthused about it. You know, if we didn't have the promises of God, we wouldn't have anything to look forward to. When I was here 10 years ago, I enjoyed the visit tremendously. I came back and I have discovered that many of your loved ones have fallen asleep. And I've missed them since I've been here. Because I looked for their faces, and when I thought of Macomb, I thought of them. And times have changed because they're not here. There's an empty pew. There's an empty place in the home. And if it was not for the Word of God and what God has promised us, I want to tell you, I'd go home most miserable. But I thank God that from His Word I have a hope, and that hope is full of life. It is a living hope because it came from a living Word. And I can look forward to the future, to the glorious coming of the Lord, and know that one of these days God's people are going to have a wonderful jubilee because God's Word says so. How powerful is the Word of God? As we look at the Scriptures in Psalms 33 and 6, we find, "By the Word of the Lord were the heavens made." Oh, we just look at those beautiful heavens. We adore the stars. And we look at night out yonder into space and see the twinkling of the stars and the mighty handiwork of God. But how do you think it got there? The Bible said, "By the Word of the Lord the heavens were made." And then we sometimes think that this thing that's called the Bible and the Word of God, it's just another book. I want to tell you that this is the greatest book. This book contains more power, my brethren, than any nuclear war that will ever be on earth. Hallelujah. This book has transforming power and energizing power that can change your life and make you from a sinner to a saint. And when we look at the heavens, the handiwork of God, and realize by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, my brethren, we ought to realize that if God gave us His word, He's given us more power to be in our hearts and in our lives as we receive it than we'll ever be able to cope with in this lifetime. It's going to take eternity to really appreciate all the Word of God. God's Word is powerful in our lives if we're Christians. And it should be the main force and the main power in our lives as we formulate our doctrines, our theologies, and our teachings to reach other people. Because unless we preach the Word of the Lord, we will but fail. How did the Lord make the heavens? By His Word. Just how did He use His Word? Well, I find that the Bible tells us on the 9th verse of the same chapter, "He spake and it was done." He spake and it was done. There must be a tremendous power. In Genesis 1 and 3, we find that God said, "Let there be light." Now, we're getting a picture of the Word of God. "Let there be light." And He said, "There was light." When God said, "Let there be light," darkness, maybe, I don't know how much space, but maybe worlds of darkness moved to one side. And if God said, "Let there be light," light came in and flooded the whole place that God wanted flooded. I find in Genesis 1:9, God said, let dry land appear. And when God spoke, there's something about God's Word. When God speaks, when His Word goes forth, everything goes into action because His Word is energizing. It activates. It motivates. And God's Word, when He spoke and said, "Let dry land appear," immediately the dry land began to rise and oceans fell off to one side. What a mighty power. Worlds of water moved out of the way that dry land might appear. And the land, what caused it to rise was the Word of God, the power and energy of this Word. We find that even the centurion which came to Jesus realized the power of the Word of the Lord. Matthew 8 and 8, he said, "I'm not worthy that you come under my roof, Lord." He was beseeching the Lord that His servant might be healed. He said, "But speak thou the word only, and my servant shall be healed." If he could just get the Lord to speak the word, His servant would be healed. He didn't even consider thinking about Jesus going under his roof and touching his servant. He just said, "Lord, I know how powerful your word is. I know if you'll just speak the word." And I want to give you an example this morning of just how powerful the word of our Lord was when He was here upon the earth. And now that He's immortalized and at the right hand of God, it's still just as powerful. And it'll always be that powerful because heaven and earth will pass away, but His Word won't pass away. We've got something that God has given us in this book that is eternal, something that'll be here forever, something that will stand when the world's on fire, and you need all of that in your heart. Jeremiah 14:16, he said, "Thy word was found, and I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Have you been eating the Word of God? It's the most powerful thing. It will cause you to have energy towards the Lord. It'll cause you to have energy to serve God. It will give you the energy to overcome the problems and the troubles and the distresses that's in your heart and mind. It will move those things and give you the energy to have faith in God so that you can live a happy life of peace. I believe the Christian today ought to have peace in his life because he has the powerful promises of God in his heart. I believe in the midst of the greatest of sorrow, you can walk in peace. My father fell on sleep, and I called for one of the Church of God preachers from Guthrie Grove to come and preach my daddy's funeral. I was very sad. But when he got up there and he began to quote those scriptures that had to do with the resurrection, that this mortal would put on immortality, I sat there in the pew, and it felt like that there was 100 bolts of lightning and thunder underneath me, lifting me up toward the throne of God, and I could know that my Redeemer liveth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We've got something that'll carry us through every storm of life and even a nuclear conflict if we just will eat it, digest it, let it become a part of our lives. Something inside that will set us on fire. Something inside that will activate us, motivate us. And it has the power to change us, to transform us, to move us from something dead to something that's a living, activated glory to God. A witness for God. I would ask you this morning, how did Jesus overcome temptation? How did our Lord win the battle? We find, if we study the scriptures, that he had three temptations. If we go over to 1 John, a second chapter, 15th verse, we'll find, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And these are not of the Father, but of the world." And you'll find that these three temptations are ever present before the human race. You'll find that they've been here all the time, that they'll be here till the Lord comes and establishes his kingdom. And you'll find these were the three temptations that Jesus had to deal with. Now, he returned from Jordan in the fourth chapter of Luke, being full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the holy influence of God. It is not a person. It is the power of God. It's the power of his influence. And it is connected with his word. And we need to realize that God's word and spirit go hand in hand. And so when Jesus was tempted and told, "If you're the Son of God, make these stones become bread," Jesus gave an answer like this. And his overcoming the temptation was by the power of the living word. It is written. It is written. The hope of every individual in this house ought to be on. It is written. In the scriptures, this is the word of God. What if I told you that when I died, I hope to go to Jupiter? You'd laugh at me. Why? Because you can't find it in the Bible. There's no promise of it. What if I told you that when I died, I knew I was going beyond the Father's galaxy, 16 million light years away, and I'd be there in 15 seconds? Would you believe me? No, you wouldn't believe me. I want to ask you another question. What if I should tell you as I stand here this morning, I know that when I die, I'm going straight to heaven? Would you believe me? Well, I don't know whether you would or not. I didn't hear no answer. I want to ask you, can you find it in the Bible? You see, that's the thing. Is it in the Word? If God said I would go to Jupiter when I died, I want to tell you something, I'd go there so fast it would cause your head to swim. But if God didn't say it, my brother, I'll never even get my foot off of the ground. That's the power of God's Word. Did you know in 1 Thessalonians 2:19 the Bible tells us what our hope is? For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of the Lord? When? Listen to it. Are not even you in the presence of the Lord at His coming? Isn't that going to be something? We'll not be in the presence of the Lord till He comes. Well, praise the Lord for the wonderful truth. This Word. Why, when I talk and quote these scriptures like that, I just feel something all in my back and all in my sides and all inside in my heart and all around my mind. And I tell you, sometimes I do think my clothes is going to get on fire. That's a powerful Word of God. Hallelujah. Wonderful truth. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, because it's written in the scriptures that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How are you and I going to live eternally? It's going to be by thus saith the Lord, by the Word of God. And my, how we ought to appreciate these doctrines of truth that God has given us. It's the Word of God. And it's the living power that's in the church. And I want to tell you, I don't care how much spirit you have. The Bible said in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. I had some visitors in my home not long ago, and we were reading some books of their denomination, and it said that the body of Jesus Christ was never raised from the dead, that when we were in the kingdom, we would pass by an enclosure of glass where that body that had died for us would be in there petrified because his flesh did not see corruption. And then we'd see that dead body lying in there that died for us on the cross of Calvary. You know, if I had to have some kind of a religion and a faith where my Lord was dead and had never been raised from the dead, I'd just as soon go out here and be a cow or maybe a serpent. I'm here this morning to tell you that Jesus Christ, our Lord, that died on the cross of Calvary, who was buried, was raised from the dead by the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Aren't you glad this morning that you've got a Savior whose body, whose whole being that hung on the cross is right now at the right hand of God alive and is looking this way, and He's going to be alive forevermore because He said, I am He that liveth and was dead in Revelation 1:18, and I'm alive forevermore. I want to tell you that Jesus you and I serve is alive because God had promised that He would be raised from the dead. And if God said it, it's going to be done. Again, when Jesus was tempted with one of these temptations that is before all of humanity, the devil taketh him up in a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of this world, and told him, if you'll worship me, I'll just give you all this power. Jesus again told him, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Every temptation thus far, we find that Jesus used the Word of God that was in his heart, that he had learned and he had found it and he had eaten it, and it was the joy and rejoicing of his life. And the reason Jesus was without sin was because he had God's Word and the power of that Word in his life, in his heart, in his mind. And he was moved and motivated in everything he did by thus saith the Lord. Again, when he was tempted, and he had to rightly divide the word of truth, because it was two scriptures. The scripture that tempted him was this. Cast thyself down, because it is written that he will give his angels charge over thee, and they will bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And I could say to myself, well, I believe I'll jump off of this building and I'll expect God, since I'm his servant, to have an angel there to catch me. Well, if one of those angels happened to be on vacation, I'd be into it. But that's the pride of life. We want to accomplish something in life. We want everybody to see something spectacular that we can do. But Jesus thanked our Heavenly Father for Jesus Christ our Lord, because Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus overcame all these temptations by the Word of God? Because it's quick, it's powerful, it's a living power. It was the living power in our Lord, and Jesus is the Word made flesh. God spoke the Word, let dry land appear. And when God spoke the Word for Mary to conceive, if God said, thou shalt conceive, that's all it took. Jesus had no prior existence. Jesus was begotten by the living God and conceived by the Virgin because God said for her to conceive. And she brought forth Christ. And Christ was saturated with the Word of God. Do you know why Jesus was so powerful for in his life for God? Why he healed so many people? Why he did so many miracles? He did it because of God's Word, all in him, all through him, all over him. In short, he is God's Word. Since the Word was made flesh. We find in John 16 and 13, howbeit, when the Spirit is come, he shall guide you into all truth. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Howbeit, when the Spirit is come, he shall guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit is given to men to guide them into the truth of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit is given to you and me to lead us into all truth, not error. I'm going to make a statement this morning in Macomb that may follow me to my grave if I die before the Lord comes. But I've never found where the Holy Spirit's ever led anybody into error. Can I get an amen on that? Huh? I'm honest. And I have lived a pretty long while. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Does that remind you of anything? Do you know the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of itself? That'd be an awful weak God that couldn't speak of itself. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak of itself. What it hears, that it speaks. The Holy Spirit is a power, and I'm going to prove it to you. It's like radio power. I go to the microphone to bring a message, and I heard a wonderful message this morning by Brother Rex Kane. Thrill my heart. But what he said in the studio came out in that radio just what he had said in the studio. And when I go before the microphone, if I clear my throat or if I cough, no matter what I do, whatever radio power hears, it says at the transmitting end. And what the Holy Spirit is doing, the power of God, is transmitting God's messages from God to you and me. And it doesn't say yonder in heaven for God to say something there and it comes out different here on this end. I want to tell you, whatever God said, that's His Word, and you can depend on it every day of your life as long as you live. And you can depend on it for eternity. And so the Holy Spirit doesn't speak of itself, but what it hears. And he says that this Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Why? Because God is going to reveal them to you by His Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will lead you to the place in the Bible. It was the Holy Spirit that reminded all of these men that wrote these Gospels and the Apostle Paul. It was this Holy Spirit that caused men long ago to bring the message of the prophets, because we find that Peter said that prophecy came not in olden times by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so we find that the Holy Spirit is the power that is bringing God's Word to people, because it takes God's Word coming to people for people to be saved. And that was what he had in mind here. So the prophecy, you see, was brought to us because the Holy Spirit motivated men. And the Holy Spirit today is a power, an influence of God that motivates us to use God's Word to get people to understand the promises of God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to put their faith and confidence in thus saith the Lord. Now, we have some great truths in the Bible that's been presented to us. Now we ought to praise God for these wonderful truths that have been given to us. In Romans 10:8, he said, what saith it? You know, some people want to ascend to heaven and bring Christ down. Some people want to ascend to heaven and bring the Holy Spirit down. Some people want to descend into hell and bring Christ up or raise him from the dead. He's done been raised from the dead. But he says, what saith it? Paul wants to know about the outcome of this thing. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Israel wanted to look off yonder, and other people a lot of times want to look off yonder to something that's magical, something that's we can't understand, something out of this world, some kind of a superstitious something, something that we can't possibly comprehend. And see, we can't get it all here together when in our mouth and in our heart we've got the greatest power in the church that we've ever in our lives ever had and ever will have, and we ought to wake up to what that power is. It's the Word of God. What saith it? For the Word is nigh thee. It's in thy mouth and in thy heart. That's the word of faith which we preach. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by getting all enthused and filled with all kinds of spirit. Is that it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Let me tell you, brethren, if you never hear the Word of God, you'll never have faith. It's the Word of God that activates and creates and generates faith in our lives and energizes us to accept that Word and let that Word have its way in our life. I want to tell you young people something. If you'll sit down every day and have 1 hour for deep meditation in the Word of God, your life will be one of success and one that will be powerful. And I'll guarantee it, stand right here in the pulpit and guarantee it this morning, that God's Word can do for you what nothing else in all the universe can do. I'm going to tell you, parents, if you'll take your children and if you'll have a time of devotion and get those children to the place that they want to eat God's Word, it'll do more for them in instruction and power and energizing in the way of righteousness than you can do with all the switches that you can use. God's Word is a wonderful instructor. Wherever God's Word is, God's Holy Spirit is there. God's holy power is there. And it motivates people in a marvelous way. The Bible tells us in Psalms 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. How is a young man going to clean up his life in his youth? Why, by taking heed to God's word. Somebody said it means to go out here somewhere to a meeting and get baptized with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you something, and I'm not making fun of getting baptized with the Holy Spirit, because I've had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit till you take heed to the Word of God and cleanse your ways by that Word of God that's powerful in your life. Because it's the Word of God that motivates things. Let me give you an example how the power of God works in the Word of God. I find that Jesus was visiting a couple sisters, and their brother had died, and he'd been dead for 4 days. And you know the story of Lazarus. I want to bring you to the scene at the graveyard. And Jesus, he told them, roll a stone away. And the sister says, by now he stinketh, Lord. Now Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. Did he walk out? Did he? He was bound. He didn't even walk out at all because he was bound. Jesus told him after he had come outside of the tomb, Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Did you know when Jesus said, come forth, that man became alive? It woke up a dead man, made him alive by the Word of God, and he simply arose by the power of God and just come right out of that grave. Imagine? No, that's the power of God, the power of our Lord. It's the Word of God. Again, in Psalms 119:11, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against me. If you want to live a righteous life, get God's word in your heart. Just fill your heart full of God's word. That's the power the church has in it today. It's a living power, because the Word of God is living and powerful. And we need God's word in our hearts. And then again, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. Psalms 119:105. The way we should go is pointed out in the word of God. It tells us exactly how we ought to live, which way to go. It puts a light on our path. We find that Jesus said in John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. What are we sanctified by? The church would never be sanctified if it isn't sanctified by the truth. One of the joys I have in standing up here and looking at you this morning is I know that you know the truth, the wonderful truth about our Lord, about the coming of the Lord and the coming kingdom. And we're talking about getting back to the old Church of God doctrines. Brethren, I want to tell you, I don't care whose doctrines they are. If we get back to the Bible, the Word of God, there's going to be power in our lives, power in our congregation, power in our young people. The only thing that can really put the kind of power in us that God wants in us is to believe, thus saith the Lord, what God has said. We look at that. We find in James 1:17, of his own will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We find that's the way that God begot us, by the word of truth. We find in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. If there's going to be any second birth in your life, it has to be by the word of God. I'm going to ask you a question. If you were begotten by somebody's word other than that of God, would you be a son of God? If somebody besides a Duncan had begotten me, I wouldn't be a Duncan. And if something other than God's word, that's the way he begets his children, by his word of truth. If something besides the word of truth begot you, you don't belong to God. And when we realize that we've been begotten by God's wonderful word, brought into this glorious hope of living again through Jesus Christ our Lord, that's something wonderful and glorious, isn't it? Now, I want to show you just how powerful God's word is. This morning I could stand up here and say a lot of things, but I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say. I want to show you something about the power of God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15, Paul said, but this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I want to ask you, didn't you feel the power of that? I want you to compare that quotation with this. When we finish here today, we're going to North Carolina. Do you feel anything in that? Somebody could have said amen. We'll be glad to get rid of you. Isn't it wonderful? Now let's go over it again. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There comes Daddy. There comes Mama. There comes our loved ones. There comes our children. And we're going to all be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Isn't that something? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Do you see how powerful God's word is? That's what quickens the church. When you preach the word, when you glorify God with his message, and we find it in some of the translations that the greatest gift that a man can desire is to be able to speak God's word. This is the mission of the church. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And when Paul went out there talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:1, he says, I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word. I want to tell you this morning that we need to get back to the word of God. I want to tell you that Jesus, when he was raised from the dead, how I know that my Lord is alive, said to his disciples, and I want you to feel the power in this. Jesus stood there before his disciples after he was raised from the dead, and he said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. Somebody said, how do you know that Jesus was raised from the dead? I know it because God's word says so. I know it because Jesus gave testimony. And I know it was the same body that hung on the cross, that came out of the grave, because Jesus stood there and said that, behold my hands and my feet. And I know Jesus would never lie. And because he lives, one of these days I'm going to live. I'd like to close out this few thoughts this morning with this thought to you. It's one of my own making that the Lord's inspired me with. I visited Brother Pritchard in his home the last time I was here. Brother Pestle. To me, they seem like rocks in the church. Many of your relatives and others, 10 years makes a big difference. I think about that morning when Jesus is going to come, step out on clouds of glory with all the angelic hosts and start towards this earth. I don't know how in the world I'm going to contain myself when I see Jesus. Do you? When I hear that shout, when I hear that trumpet sound, when all of those we love that's planted out here, suddenly the dead in Christ are going to be raised. Now, I won't tell you, we're talking about the Word of God and what He's promised. Did God promise this? And suddenly we see all of that mighty host, and we suddenly realize that there's the trumpet sound, and we're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. And the rest of the world is going to be left behind. I want to tell you that when we're caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we go whisking up to meet the Lord in the air, we meet Him in the clouds in the air, and we stand there with the ransomed of the Lord, and we look at the Christ who died for us. I don't know if I could describe anything in this whole world I could describe it with. I think the cloud's going to have to be pretty solid, or I may jump so hard I may go through it. I think it better be far enough down from the top of heaven, or I might bump my head. I think if I was to take every flower that ever bloomed in the world and put it in one big bouquet. I think if I was to take every streak of lightning that ever flashed across the sky and put it behind that bouquet. And every peal of thunder that ever sounded and rolled it in there like a great organ. I think if I had to put a million suns behind that. And then all the stars of every galaxy behind that. And then take every hymn that's ever been sung and every chorus by great choirs that has ever sung and put it all together into one master great bouquet of beauty. I don't think it would describe what you and I are going to experience when we stand on clouds of glory and look all around us and realize that suddenly we've been made immortal. We'll never die anymore. We'll never be sick anymore. We're going to be with the Lord forever. Isn't that going to be the victorious day for God's people? Am I presenting something wrong to you? The power, the living power in the church is the living promises of God that's going to become a reality that's going to take us into eternal life, into eternity, to be with the Lord. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're going to miss that. When God's children are called up to meet Christ, you're going to be left behind. There's going to be weeping and wailing. There's going to be gnashing of teeth. How about you? Those people at the day of Pentecost said, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Promised unto you and your children, who are far off, means our Lord our God shall call. I hope this morning, if there's one here that has never accepted Jesus Christ, that you'll walk down the aisle and give your pastor the hand and say, I want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. I want to belong to the family of God. When men are literally, according to the Word of God, changed, immortalized, glorified in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I want to receive that, and I want to inherit eternal life and live in eternity with the Lord. And I'm going to accept Him as my Savior. May God bless you.